97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. I know we've spent most of the day talking about the Jazz and their loss and the end of the season for the Jazz, but a huge day in terms of college athletics, thanks to the Supreme Court. Brian Fisher from Athlon Sports, kind enough to join us. Brian, how are you?
Hey, Brian.
I am staying busy, guys. That's for sure. It is a busy week in college athletics.
I would imagine, for sure. So, Supreme Court, in this day and age, it's hard to get anybody to be unanimous on anything, but it was a 9-0 verdict with the NCAA not having a particularly good day in court. Talk us about what this means short-term and, I guess, what it means long-term.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of sees that 9-0 ruling, and certainly it was a big blow for the NCAA. You know, I think that there's little question that this was a case, you know, even going back, almost a decade. You know, everybody kind of pointed to this being a critical case in terms of, you know, what's happening in the day-to-day and what's happening in kind of the broader picture with regards to the NCAA. And frankly, it's a huge blow for Mark Emmert and his staff in Indianapolis. And, you know, for the athletes themselves, you know, I think the ruling itself, while it was 9-0, it was kind of specific. You know, it was kind of limited to educational rewards. You know, things like schools giving out laptops to athletes, you know, postgraduate scholarships, you know, so they can go to grad school, you know, things like that. You know, that is really what the case was about, and limited to certainly the antitrust issues that this entire lawsuit was based on. But, you know, the fallout from not only this ruling, but kind of subsequent issues that are going to pop up here is, you know, this is really kind of opening the doors to athletes being compensated much more beyond just that scholarship that they're getting. And I think that's where, you know, there's certainly some fretting from the folks in Indianapolis about how wide a berth the Supreme Court has just given them. But, you know, the bottom line is this is a huge case and one that will have a lasting impact for certainly the next decade and beyond.
I played major college football back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I guess my question is, what the heck took so long? Like, what was it that finally tipped it one way or the other? Because we knew back in the day those TV contracts were worth a lot of money and coaches were getting paid a lot of money. But what was it that finally tipped it towards the players' favor in the ruling?
Well, I mean, this is obviously something that has been in the works for a long time. I mean, you go back, the O'Bannon case was decided back in 2014. This is kind of a case that has been in the works basically since then as well. There's even another big legal case the NCAA is going to have to deal with on name, image, and likeness coming down the pipe as well. And, you know, really just it kind of goes to show that the leadership of college athletics has been asleep at the wheel. You know, that the NCAA, Mark Emmert, all the people in charge of really running, you know, sports in general in this country could have gotten out ahead of this issue years ago, you know, back when you were playing and or even in the subsequent years. But they didn't. And that's why this has kind of gone through the legal courts and is basically forcing them to kind of open up. And so I think that's, you know, really when you hear the criticism of Mark Emmert, it's really for being asleep on the wheel. That they could have addressed a lot of the issues on much more favorable terms than what they got right now from the Supreme Court ruling years ago, and they simply didn't. And so they took a chance on working its way through the court system. It obviously did not come out the way they wanted, and as a result, you're going to see some big foundational changes in terms of how athletes are compensated going forward and how really kind of modern college athletics is going to proceed both from a funding standpoint and from a day-to-day standpoint as well.
Is today a bad day for the G5s?
I don't think so, because obviously, you know, they have a chance to really, you know, benefit. You know, when you're talking about opening up, you know, potential, you know, postgraduate internships, you know, where they can offer that and get maybe athletes they weren't available to. You know, if you're in certain parts of the country with, you know, a great local, not only local fan base, but a great corporate fan base, you know, where you can have those. You know, companies get involved in terms of the postgraduate internships and whatnot. You know, it could be a real asset for some of the schools if they think strategically about offering this. But I think at the end of the day, you know, there's going to be a big fallout. And, you know, frankly, you know, what the Supreme Court allows a lot of these schools to do is also say, you know, you don't have to offer these. You know, if you're a MAC school, you know, certainly you're playing in a different end of the spectrum from the SEC schools or even the Big Ten schools in your same footprint. And, you know, if you can't afford to, you know, offer a $2,000 laptop to your students, you just won't. And I think, you know, yeah, it's going to hurt you in recruiting, but those scholarships are still going to get filled. So, you know, people are still going to want to play football for a lot of these schools and continue their education. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's not a huge, you know, hurdle for them to clear, but, you know, it definitely does kind of open up the floodgates at the top end of the spectrum to where they can offer just so much more than some of those schools in the kind of the middle and bottom tiers.
I would say, is this the beginning of the end of the NCAA? But I think we've seen the unraveling of the NCAA. But is this just another step towards the disbanding or the breaking down of the NCAA?
I don't think so. Just because, you know, if we've, you know, talk all the time about you know, what happens if the Power Five breaks away or something like that, and essentially some organization is still going to have to kind of step in their absence and be created in their absence. And I think if anything, it will produce some structural changes in terms of how rules are made and how the NCAA is governed, and maybe kind of wrestle some of the control back, you know, from the presidents that have guided the enterprise these last couple of years to disastrous results. Maybe the athletic directors and some of the day-to-day administrators do get their hands on more decision-making power within the NCAA as a result of what's been happening. But, you know, at the end of the day, I still think we're still going to have that March Madness tournament. We're still going to have, you know, kind of that big blue ball and the NCAA logo on it with things like the College World Series. That's still going to be around, I think. I don't know if this is going to produce that big of a change to where the NCAA truly gets broken up and goes away, just because of the fact that these schools, because they are operating in different parts of the country at different levels, they're still going to need somebody to kind of act as that unifying force. And so I think there will be ultimate changes to the NCAA, but I still see it sticking around, not only in the near future, but long term as well.
So as you mentioned earlier, the ruling today was kind of narrow in its focus, but Justice Kavanaugh certainly seemed like he signaled the green light for the cavalry to come calling on future lawsuits. Do you anticipate we're going to see a slew of those coming down the pipeline?
I do, and I think that is important to keep in mind. You know, this is a Supreme Court case. It's obviously focused on antitrust issues, and that's what the bulk of the decision by Justice Gorsuch was primarily about. But, you know, everybody's going to take that, opinion from Justice Kavanaugh and really run with it, because at the end of the day, he was the biggest one that kind of took the a big whack at the general amateurism argument. And I think that's the one that, while the NCAA has already kind of pushed back in some of their statements, that's what is really going to kind of impact the athletes more than anything, you know, short-term and long-term. You know, the name, image, and likeness coming down the pipe, there's lawsuits about that. That's certainly going to get addressed and attacked over the next coming days and coming weeks. And I think it's really you know, just a huge sea of change. This case is not only the first of many decisions, but you know, really a summer of change that college athletics has really never seen before, and won't. This is a truly foundational case. You know, you talk with folks out there that they always go back to that Board of Regents case back in 1984 that the Supreme Court decided. This is just as big, and I think really will impact you know, really everybody that touches college athletics, you know, now and in the near future.
So you had mentioned a couple of things, the education related benefits and things like computers. I think I heard you mention graduate scholarships, those kinds of things. But is there, of what we know, is there a limit? I mean, can this go to, you know, big cars, expensive vehicles, homes, townhomes? Like, can schools go to the furthest extent to supply these kids with what could be perceived as business tools or usages to be a football player in college?
Well, there are still some limits on what they can do. I think there was a dollar amount cap that the district court had put in there that certainly was a bit of a bone of contention from some, but you know, even the conferences are, you know, kind of able to insert, you know, certain limitations on things that they want to give out, and we could certainly see that. You know, you could see a different limit in terms of maybe it's the scholarship amount, whether it's maybe the educational expenses. That could vary from the MAC to the SEC to the Pac-12. So there's still a lot to kind of be worked out in terms of how this works in practice. It's obviously a very new ruling. I would imagine a lot of general counsels out there for university offices are hastily scheduling meetings in terms of what they have to do, not only to comply with this ruling, but how it kind of affects them going forward. But I still think the basic tenet of kind of pay for play, here's a car, come to our school, that doesn't seem to be the case out of this ruling. But you can certainly find loopholes and ways around that to where maybe it's a lease or something like that, and you can claim it's a part of an educational expense to get to class or something like that. Those sorts of things are really going to be the what has to be worked out over the next couple of months, couple of years, and I'm sure the issue that I think the NCAA really was afraid of was this decision leading to a lot more lawsuits over things like that. And that's ultimately what is going to happen, is you're going to see a lot more lawsuits over just what is that limit and what can these student athletes and players really kind of push up against.
So does it all go into effect now? I mean, is this ruling immediate? How soon can some of these benefits start reaching some of these players?
Well, I mean, I think, as soon as possible for certain items. I think the NCAA, even before, they argued in front of the Supreme Court, basically affirmed that schools could offer things like laptops and whatnot to their players. So, that might end up happening, sooner rather than later, something like that. You might get a team, get a huge shipment of Apple laptops, by the time the season starts. What really does kind of complicate things is obviously, budgets are already being set right now. We're kind of in the final phases. If these athletic budgets haven't already been, finalized, how are some of these schools going to pay for some of the things? Really, I think this is going to impact, the next year more than anything. I think it's still so early, kind of in the process. As much as schools want to prepare and kind of look at how they might attack this ruling. And bring those benefits to the athletes, it's probably going to be something that is a much longer process that will not only play out into the fall, but certainly into next year and beyond. But it wouldn't shock me if there's some school out there that certainly has the physical means, even coming out of the COVID issues that a lot of these budgets have been dealing with. You might see some athletes this fall sporting some new laptops, some new iPads and whatnot. Kind of under the guise that it's going to help them with their education. I would imagine that's not going to be the case for a lot of them at schools that are still dealing with some of the financial ramifications from just kind of the general COVID impact that we saw last year.
Man, this is so tough for me because I have to believe this will continue to create a Grand Canyon-like divide between the haves and the have-nots, yet the have-nots are going to continue to take those paydays and put those lower-end recruits in front of these high-end, now professional athletes. It just feels like this is going to get more and more brutal in distancing the, Division II, maybe the lower-end group of five, to the higher-end Power Fives.
Yeah, I think, ultimately, there's going to be some cases, scenarios out there, some examples to where things are, swings, so far the other way, where you do hear about the things that the athletes at an Alabama or a Clemson or an Ohio State might be getting, and how that is just not the case at some of your lower end schools. But ultimately, I think because you are letting the market kind of dictate things much more than so in the past, it'll reach a bit of a stasis point to where kind of the schools understand what others are offering, what they can offer within their means, and I think at the end of the day. The athletes will be better off, but certainly you're going to see some eye-opening use cases initially before things kind of tail off and everybody kind of gets used to the kind of the new lay of the land. And I would imagine that that's going to be the case not just with these educational benefits relating to the Alston case, but also with name, image, and likeness and what that's going to entail over the next couple of months and weeks as well.
Well, Brian, we appreciate your time. Thanks for helping us make sense of this thing, because it was certainly a lot of layers of this, this bad boy, and we appreciate you taking some time for us.
Oh, no problem. I'm sure we're all going to be quite busy over the next couple of weeks and months before the season even gets here.
Yeah, no doubt. That's Brian Fisher from Athlon Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, @BrianDFisher.